Welcome to the Lead Lamp Podcast. This week we have Brian Dean from John's on Fire.
Yes, sir. So
we've had some interactions with some fun events and stuff in the past. So I know you a little better and kind of what you do, but I just want you to, you have such a cool story through adversity and things that were just, you know, tough. So I want you to kind of give us the change from being in more of a corporate world to what you do now. And I'll let you explain that because it's, you got a pretty fun store.
Okay.
Got a lot, you got a lot of fun stuff going on.
We do. So thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. So there's a lot to kind of dive into there, but we'll start off with Drones on Fire is a, you know, premier sneaker boutique. We specialize in the hard to find stuff like Travis Scott.
Which I knew was a thing. Like I knew that was a thing before I met you and saw your store. I think the first time I was in there was when we were setting up for the
charity event. Yeah.
What was it? Juice and John's.
Yep.
And once I was in there and I started talking to you, I was like, this is a whole world that is deeper than what I thought.
Hard to believe.
I know.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, I got my like Target brand or Kohl's dress shoes.
Yeah, it is. So we could actually start there. So what's crazy is, you know, in 1986, when the first pair of Jordans came out, I was 10 years old growing up in Philadelphia. At the time, I used to get, you know, two pair of sneakers a year, one for back to school, one around this time of year for the spring. And it was Phil's sneaker store, anybody in Philadelphia on Cobham Avenue. And everybody went there and they were $20 a pair. They were Nike canvas. They were all white. And then you've got a different color swoosh. That was like the sneaker game prior to Michael Jordan.
That was fancy then. Yeah.
That was it. And that was how it was, right? You took care of them for the first 2 weeks. And then they got destroyed.
But you had to make them last until
you had, they had to last for a long time.
Yeah.
And that was the sneaker you wore. You didn't wear it outside to play for the first couple of weeks, but then after a while, it just became kind of the everyday, every moment sneaker. So I was at Athlete's Foot in the Roosevelt Mall, and I saw the original Jordans, the red, white, and black ones. And I obviously, it's almost 40 years ago, so I don't remember the specific details, but I remember begging my parents. And the sneaker was released. They were $65.
Which back then.
Well, the comparison is the Nike canvas were 20. So that's a year and a half plus worth of sneakers. Our parents' mortgage was $110 a month. So it was not in the cards. Fast forward, I wasn't the best student. I was like a B and C student. And my parents always wanted to make honor roll, which you need all A's and B's for. And they kind of gave me a challenge that if you make honor roll by the end of the year, we'll get them for you. So I studied, I worked hard. Maybe I cheated a little bit.
You do what you had to do.
Maybe. And made honor roll by the end of the year. They still didn't have the money, but they figured out a way. And one day my dad came home and surprised me with them and maybe like a size too big because he knew I had to wear them for a while. And kind of the rest is history. I kind of been into sneakers from call it day one.
Yeah.
And at that time, again, I don't remember the specifics, but I remember like when I had those on, which was every day, I just felt great. And
yeah, you were the king.
I didn't have cool clothes and they were the sneakers that everybody wanted. There was bad press. A couple of kids got killed over them. But that was like for a year and a half, that was my style. I wore them to play baseball, skateboard. We still have one of them in the store, actually. And it's kind of the centerpiece showpiece.
It was your shoe.
Yeah, my sneaker. When you come into the store, you see it. It's got two holes in the bottom because I wore them for a year and a half. And we actually moved to this area about 12 years ago. And I just opened up this random tote that had moved for three or four houses and never opened. And there it was. So it's kind of the story of Drones on Fire, the basis.
And even afterwards, were you collecting shoes later?
So different periods of time over that 40 years. So I would say during my college days, I really wasn't into sneaker fashion. The last 10 years was really, and you know, Nike at the time, when I really got back into it, had a very liberal return policy. It was really before it kind of became mainstream. But fast forward 40 years now, it was started out maybe in like the inner city. Now it has morphed into, you know, teenagers, soccer moms, it's kind of hit many, many, many demographics, areas, communities, not just in the United States, but around the world. Mm-hmm. The resale industry, if you want to call it that, today eBay did a research and they estimated it's $10 billion industry today. And by 2030, it'll be $30 billion.
And that's not new shoe sales.
That's not new. That is the resale market. And that's documented. Hmm. You know, there's a lot of guys that do what that we do, but they don't have a store or a brand or a website. They just kind of do it in their out of their basement, which mm-hmm. is cool, but that's not necessarily documented. So
right.
That's why eBay has decided to invest heavy into sneaker authentication. And
yeah, I've noticed that when we talked last time, you were telling us about mm-hmm. that. They have a heavy team now where, because there's another website that was larger for shoe authentication as well, yep. but eBay is starting to compete with that now.
So yeah. So we can dive into that for a second. So okay. authentication or authenticity is critical. Mm-hmm. And any business that has money to be made, there's going to be
sports
people.
Sports cards, stuff like that.
Watches, jewelry. There's going to be people that desire mm-hmm. and or people that want to make capitalize on it. And in our industry, fakes, reps. And some people that I know, some people that buy reps and wear them and that makes them happy. And
they're
that's okay.
Yeah.
We obviously don't do that. We take authenticity seriously. We believe we're the only brand, industry leading, double your money back guarantee mm-hmm. that you won't buy a non-authentic item from our store. And if you do, we'll stand by and give you double your money back, which nobody has done. But it's in what has happened over the last 5 years, because there's been so many unauthentic items in the market. StockX, mm-hmm. you may have heard, it was kind of the big first online reseller. Mm-hmm. You put up your item for sale. I want it. I buy it. They collect their fee from both of us. And a couple of weeks, I get my sneaker. Mm-hmm. And I use them. I was a trusted customer of theirs. But a couple of years ago, they got themselves into some trouble. They were sending out sneakers that weren't authentic. They got lawsuits. And now they don't even guarantee authenticity. So, tie into what we talked about. eBay kind of came in and saw that opportunity. And
it was a void.
Yeah. There's obviously a mass. People still use StockX. We don't. The little green tag that would hang from sneakers when we first opened for inventory that we had gotten from either them or from somebody that got it from them, we kept it on as a badge of trust.
There was value with that.
And over time, we were getting stuff in that smelled like smoke. I had some friends that worked there that were giving us some inside info on, it wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. And we stopped using them, but we started cutting those tags off. Now, if you bring a pair in that has the green tag and that's hurting the value.
Yeah.
Let's authenticate that a little harder. So, yeah.
Okay. That's a whole different, a whole other topic too.
Yeah. So back to Drones on Fire. So we, specialize in the hard to find sneakers, mm-hmm. Travis Scott's, Off-Whites. And we have some general release stuff, but general releases can, more or less be found in most stores. So there's no real drive for us to carry that inventory. Mm-hmm. And we, we focus on the entire family, where mm-hmm. in most cases, sneakerheads, white, African American guys, stores that focus specifically on sneakerheads, mm-hmm. and with some background from my prior life and operations and customer experience and marketing, so it's time for somebody to be a little bit different. So we focus on the entire family. We always say we have size 2C to men 18 and everything in between, mm-hmm. and really focus our focus on mom and teenager, instead of the teenager having to drag mom into our store.
Mom
likes to come in.
Yeah.
In many cases, doesn't come in with the kids because they want to have the shopping.
She just wants to shop for herself.
And many say to us, "I'm not bringing my kid in here. We'll be in trouble."
So, I mean, that means you did a good job at nailing that.
We take it as a compliment. And we might not get the sneakerhead, but the sneakerhead, probably already has their plug or mm-hmm. their hookup or the store that they trust.
Yeah, it seems like you're doing a good job at. You're tailoring to, I'm sure you have plenty of sneakerheads mm-hmm. that come to you, but then you're also reaching a market where, someone like myself who's never obviously bought, sneakers like that or thought of them as a collectible or a statement piece. And mm-hmm. I would just buy them as a utility.
Yep.
You're dipping into that market where it's kind of that first time I'm uncomfortable. I just want to come in and check it out. Yep. Let me know what I should be doing. Yep. I'm sure you get a lot of that.
We do. And again, that's what our personal service is, our differentiator. Mm-hmm. We call it, you know, white glove service, but, you know, really engaging with the customer and mm-hmm. finding out what they like and what they don't like and how important comfort versus style is. And are they a collector or are they a wearer? So we really try to engage with the customer. We share our stories about what sneakers we like for that first time customer mm-hmm. or for that teenager that's coming in and getting their first pair. You know, their eyes light up and there's lots of options, but really trying to help them. And maybe since it is their first pair and since they're still, you know, early teens mm-hmm. that might not take the best care of it, you know, don't just sell them anything, but right. really try to get them something that'll be more durable,
right.
where they could wear with more outfits versus locking them into something that would only match with a yellow shirt.
Yeah.
If you have 10 pair already, then great. And then it's time to, you know, get something that could be a little bit more.
As a teenager or someone coming in first time, you know, do some research online and they think like, oh, I want this one. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, a different level shoe where let's start you over here.
Yeah. 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 We, you know, parents are going to kick in with that too.
Yeah.
You know, we have stuff that, could fit a budget that might be $100. We have stuff that's 5,000.
Yeah. And the Swarovski crystal shoe. You still have it there?
It's still there. Right. Yeah. And we actually make our own now.
Okay.
We have a in-house blinger,
okay.
Wooters Inc. And Amanda has a contract with Swarovski, which is how you pronounce it, actually, I believe.
Okay.
I've been trained, and we can get the crystals. We can't say that they are Swarovski dunks, but we have this. If you match it up in the store, it looks the exact same. Huh. It's just—
You can't label it that way. You
know, $500 compared to $5,000.
Yeah.
So.
Huh. And I'm sure you could do other things like just a swoosh or just an like
you
can kind of change it up a little
bit.
We
do custom painting, custom bling, custom sports spikes. We take a pair of Travis Scott's and put golf spikes on it or football spikes. I don't know that there's many people.
You haven't done track yet?
What's that?
You haven't done anything track spikes yet?
Not track. Right, well, right. There's lots of options. There's golf, there's football, baseball, soccer, lacrosse. But for kids, especially teenagers that, you know, you've listened to Dion, right? Look good, feel good, play good, pay good. Kids, when I just get a kid that's in seventh grade, wears a size 4 and got a pair of UNC Jordan 1 highs with gold cleats on the bottom.
And that's pretty cool.
There's no doubt in my mind that when that kid, well, you know, hopefully he plays good.
It feels like $1 million
bucks.
There's
no doubt in my mind that that kid's going to feel good, be confident, and, you know, arguably impact his playing in a positive, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot more that goes on in the store too. You have a busy, very busy store. A couple times we've been over there, and your team, like you said, every time we've had interactions like events and stuff, they're awesome. You have the trailer that comes out too, and they always are taking care of like a wide range of people at the events we've been to.
Yep.
Like, you know, you've had it out to our tailgate.
Yep.
But they're always just, your team's always on it and.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, every business says, you know, customer's most important and it doesn't happen without your team.
Right.
I worked in a corporate world where, you know, we said it too, didn't always necessarily see that be implemented, but that's a prior life and there's lots of learnings from that. So with the transition from a corporate world into, you know, running your own show, the good thing is you get to take what you don't want to do or didn't feel right, not do it. And take the good things you learn and things that you want to do and go do it. It just takes time, sweat, and, you know, some investments.
Fumbles.
Lots of fumbles. Yeah. But fail forward, get up and try again, do it differently.
Right.
So we get to make the customer number one.
Mm-hmm.
We get to take care of them like no one else does. We get to invest time with them because I'm not holding myself or my team to a payroll metric that says, oh, we spend too much time on that customer.
Right.
And we get to do that. And those are the relationships that we're building with customers that are the foundation of who we are. And my team, my partner, Miles, my kids are involved, Jake and Zach.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get Allie there one day. And just some of my great guys, Gabe, who's one of our hires about 6 months ago when he was a good customer. And one day he said, are you hiring? And I said, well, we're fully staffed, but you never know. Fast forward a month later, he started working with us. And the first day that he started working, he was crying. And it's actually a great story. The reason why he was crying was he's tried to get a job at a sneaker store his entire life and no one would give him the chance.
Now he's finally.
And he is absolutely tremendous with customers. He's bilingual. We do these auction sites and these podcasts and I speak English, he speaks Spanish. We have this kind of thing going on to meet more of a, again, in the spirit of taking care of customers in a very unique
It's another layer of customer that you are now able to reach.
Yeah, 100%. And more importantly than reaching the customer, Gabe's a great guy.
Right.
Great family.
So he's doing all the same values that were already instilled in the rest of the team. He can now carry that out through a whole different avenue.
And help us reach then more customers, but in a way that we could never communicate effectively enough. Mm-hmm. So it's he's a tremendous asset. So the team and we don't stop working. Even, you know, on slow days or slow periods, we've remodeled the store 4 times in almost 2 years.
It's been different almost every time.
It's always different. Yeah. Well,
there's a new thing.
If we were going to do the next store, it would look completely different.
Yeah.
The fire truck, as you mentioned, the trailer, as we launched that at our 1 year anniversary, which is, you know, coming up on 2 years now.
That's a heck of an operation on its own.
You've heard me say world's first. Uh-huh. We believe we're the world's first traveling sneaker boutique. And the idea was, while we love our location in Harrisburg, while we have lots of great customers and loyal customers and want to build that every day, of course, as any business does, we're also in a shopping center that's kind of off the beaten path. And, you know, lots of marketing and billboards and social media, which are all necessary things, but, you know, anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. So we knew that to get more customers, we needed another, you know, marketing vehicle.
And that something was different. You have to stand out.
The fire truck checks those boxes and more, to the point where, you know, almost 2 years now that since we've been open, I can confidently say if it wasn't for the fire truck, you know, we might be struggling a little, because the customers that we've been able to meet that have become not just a customer that day, that doesn't mean anything. It's
they come back.
They text me and I'd met a couple of guys in December at a golf event and I was talking to them for the last week, you know, 3 of the guys just, you know, made more orders and those would have never been opportunities without having that vehicle, but also, of course, the experience that we gave them with that vehicle.
When you mentioned something that's pretty cool too, you've created a business with your partner as well, I'm sure, but that you were just saying you text one of your customers, like, that's neat. It's a cool place to be where you're able to communicate directly with your customers in a bigger, you know, Fortune 500 size corporate world. Even smaller than that, but you know, large local businesses, you can't have that much of a connection with your customers. I'm sure you get that a lot closer now with what you're doing.
Yeah, you hear, you know, marketing experts say, you know, be where the customer wants, how they want, right? And that's that. Obviously, everybody's trying to do that to a certain degree, a certain level. But you know, who you get on the other side of that. Is you know, could be a call center or a robot, and again, there's a time and a place for all that stuff,
right?
You know, I've had some friends or other customers that have seen me in action on the phone when I'm with them when a customer calls, and they're like, well, you know, Sunday afternoon, what are you doing? I'm like, this is what we do.
Yeah.
You can't do that forever necessarily, but that's what we do, and maybe we can do it forever, right? That's the foundation of who we are. So when somebody asks me, how's your online sales? Our online sales are, you know, this, but all of the people that reach out or all the people that we reach out to in any different, you know, way, they don't go through and process the order online.
Right.
We just do it for them.
Right.
And while it's easy to do it online, it could take them a second. I don't even ever ask them. It's just, that's what
you could just say, you know what? You can do this online. Yeah, it's Sunday.
All the time. People call us all the time. Hey, do you have this sneaker? You know, I could say, hey, if you go on our website, no, we look it up for them, right? How can we make it easy? Because there is competition out there and we can't compete with
eBay
or StockX or GOAT pricing. They don't own the inventory.
Right.
My business model is not the same as theirs. It's hard for customers to understand that. And I get that. So we have to, you know, win in other ways and putting a name with a face, you know, free shipping, fast, speedy, guaranteed authentic, wide variety, take care of the whole family, part of the community, right? Have fun. Parents drop their kids off to come into our store and hang out, play video games while they're shopping at Giant or grabbing a bite. Like, these are the things that are, you know, these aren't things that we're doing because somebody told us to do.
Right.
These aren't things that we're doing because we're trying to copy somebody. These aren't things that we're doing because
they're not always the most profitable.
They're not.
Yeah.
But these are things that we believe are the foundation. Gaining more customers every day, not just gaining them, but keeping them to come back.
Yeah.
And yeah. Tell their friends.
We were just talking on another podcast about that, just the value of referrals is probably, even for you, immensely more valuable than the next person you get through an AdWords click. Although you need your AdWords, you also...
we all need impressions.
Right. But at the same time, if I was talking to Joe, Joe's behind the scene, but if I was talking to Joe and I'm like, yeah, man, I love those sneakers. Like, where'd you get them? I want to get a pair like that. And Joe's telling me where to go. Like, you can't beat...
Yeah.
That was a free
referral. Well, you know, not to bore you with my customer experience background and training, but, you know, likelihood to return, likelihood to recommend are two big, you know, drivers of net promoter score, not to bore the audience. But likelihood to return, you know, sometimes could be very high, but it could be more because of a convenience, like a drugstore or a gas station. It's on the way home or so I'm going
to
return.
Yeah, I'll just go to Sheetz. Isn't
that great?
Yeah.
Likelihood to recommend is you putting your name behind something, which requires you to have a great, consistent experience because you're going to recommend to.
I'm going to stick my neck out.
Y and Z.
Tell someone else.
And you don't want somebody to come back and say, "Yo, what was it? You said Chick-fil-A was fast and quick and great. You know, what's up with that?" So people really only recommend brands or experiences that have great, consistent types of experiences. So. You know, we ask anytime we get a new customer, and we still get new customers every day, we'll say, how did you hear about us? You know, and some will say billboards, some will say social media, some will say, I just drove by and saw it. But many compliment that with my boss or my friend or my cousin told me about you guys and I wanted to check it out myself. So they're the great compliments that we get. We love that. That fuels us. And that's what we'll continue to focus on. And the memories that, while again, I don't remember the details of that athlete's foot in Philadelphia in 1986, I remember the Michael Jordan poster that was on the wall. I remember the new edition Cool It Now song that was playing on the radio. Like, I remember that. And, you know, while I didn't necessarily say it on paper during, you know, creating what the atmosphere and the experience is going to be at Drones on Fire on PowerPoint in my basement. That was a part of like a memorable experience.
It's at the core of that.
Period.
Nice. Yeah. It is a very, it's an awesome environment you have. If anyone locally can go check it out, like, you have to go check it out. Cause even if, like I said,
don't do it justice.
I'm not a shoe or a sneaker. I'm not a sneakerhead or anything. I need to get a pair, that's a whole different thing. I've been there a few times. And I think when I was there for the Sip and See, I sent some pictures to my wife.
Yeah.
And she's like, you need to come home with a pair of shoes for me. And I was like, the crystal ones.
Yeah.
But I will get a pair of shoes.
Well, and we focus not just on, you know, sneaker head. You heard me talk about that.
Yeah.
We don't just focus on even the style wear. We focus on comfort. And that's what is kind of the market's shifted a little bit from, like, I love Jordans. My favorite sneaker design of all time is a Jordan 4, but I will rarely wear them because for me, they're big, huge boots. They're not comfortable. So I can probably wear them for 2 or 3 hours. So, but, you know, Yeezys, which have a controversial conversation with Kanye West and Adidas and all that that's been going on the last few years, I got my first pair 3 years ago. And if you said to me, what's one pair you'd wear the rest of your life? I would pick those, not because of the style, not because I like or don't like Kanye. The comfort is absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
And some customers turn their head to it. I'm not here to have that debate. Some customers don't like the way they look. But if you want something that is ultra durable, that will last a long time, that is ultra comfort and are willing to, you know, not worry about what style you like or don't like, it's the greatest sneaker.
Huh.
So you don't have to be a sneakerhead.
Yeah.
If you have an open mind.
And I think that's the same with, so I won't say I'm a sneakerhead, but I will say And Cody will get a kick out of this too, is I have a running shoe problem though, because I run a lot, a lot of miles. And it's very similar to that though. Like, you'll go to a lot of reputable running stores for shoes, and it's different than going to Dick's Sporting Goods. Because, you know, that just because the shoe looks good and whatever, feels good when you're standing there, might not be the best for your foot. And it sounds like that's very similar to what you're saying. Like, you might love the Yeezys. I might love the Jordan 4 or whatever that you can't stand wearing. And, you know, Joe or Cody have two different preferences, all, you know, different from ours. But it's very similar to what I think of when I think of buying a running shoe. Like, I couldn't recommend what I wear to you.
Yep.
You probably hate it.
Yep. And that's why the beauty of our environment is you try it on. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, a lot of stores,
you can't do that on eBay.
World, when you can't do it on eBay, you can't do it online. We get five questions a week that say, hey, I bought this online and it doesn't fit. Can I come in and exchange it for a different size? Like, we can just come to us and we'll take care of you. But
the first time.
Yeah, but that's okay. We get it. We try to educate, and we get customers all the time that either, you know, sizing or, hey, just try it on. Because it says it's a size 12 and you wear a size 12, doesn't mean that in this sneaker, since you have never worn it, that you're a size 12. So let's try it on to make sure that you don't need 11 and a half or 12 and a half. And the, you know, when we create those experiences for our customers, the best compliment that they give us is, you know, beyond that is they don't just come to us to buy sneakers. They come to buy sneakers from us.
Right.
And that's the, again, that environment that we're creating. And there's a premium to that. And there's a lot of benefits to walking out with it that day. And that'll always be our foundation as we continue to do different things and grow. Not, that will not change.
Right. Okay.
Let's get better at it.
Yeah. All right. So let's, I'm going to have a little fun now too.
Okay.
So if you had to do like your, we're going to do some like a little bit more rapid fire ones.
Okay.
If you had to pick your, we're going to start with your least favorite.
Okay.
It's like, it could be a really popular shoe, but your least favorite shoe, you just, it's, you can't stand it.
Well, it's really bad to say in my business, but it's like your kids, you can't rate them.
True. Right.
But, you'll typically hear people talk about the Panda Dunk right now as the, one of the most hated sneakers, because of the last couple of years, it's all black and white, looks like a panda. The market has been crazy. It's been the number one or two top reselling sneaker the last few years.
Okay.
That has officially ended. When we first opened, it would cost us crazy amount of money to buy them. And then we would have to, you know, put our margin on top and resell them. Now the market.
And then you're probably flooded. Holding them for a while.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, they sold really fast. We couldn't get them. Nike wasn't producing enough, which was kind of, you know, this entire industry is based on supply and demand. Yeah. Which, you know, you've, with COVID, you've seen with watches and homes and cars, it's kind of become the normal sneaker industry. Resale has been kind of, you know, for 20 years been maybe one of the first supply and demand industries that have turned into additional retail. But back to your question. So directly, Panda Dunk Low is the standard answer. That's what I'm going to give.
Okay. Sounds like it was more of an annoyance than anything.
It's just, it goes with everything. So yeah. I know why people buy it. I just wouldn't wear it.
Gotcha. All right. So then we'll do the opposite.
Okay.
Favorite shoe of all time.
Again,
it's can, your kids,
I can't answer can't. It.
Which is your favorite?
I have a top bucket of sneakers.
Okay.
One of them is what I'm wearing right now.
Okay.
This is the Jordan 1 Travis Scott Low Fragment. It is not in the greatest condition because I wear it frequently. The pink laces just make it an unbelievable sneaker. And I'm really glad that I shifted from, I used to be into highs. So Jordans come, you know, low, mid, high. I used to be into highs. And when these came out a few years ago, I was looking to get a pair of highs. And I'm so thankful that I didn't, because I would rarely wear them. Because it's hard to wear highs with shorts and these don't look right all the time. So I'm really glad that I held out. I got these about 18 months ago. I've worn them way more than I wear a typical higher end sneaker, but the Travis's, just the way they look, the way they feel. While Jordan 1s to me aren't very comfortable, I think this is mental. These I could wear all day, no problem.
Nice.
So Travis's in the market are continually one of the hottest sneakers. The Olive that came out less than a year ago is, you know, was trading for about $500 a pair. Now they're $1,000 a pair in less than a year. So they're crazy. There's a canary yellow and royal blue coming out. There's some people that are saying they don't like it. I can't wait. I love crazy colors and I can't wait for that one.
Do you lean more towards the standout shoes?
Period. Okay. That's why I can't wear the Panda Dunk. I would say that's because everybody wears it. But clearly people that are,
right.
you know, my outfit starts with the sneakers.
Bottom up. Now, see, you have a little bit more of a conservative. I mean, that could go with a lot of stuff.
You could do. In fact, yeah. some might say, well, you shouldn't be wearing black with brown.
Oh.
But I got a little black in our logo here, so it kind of ties. But again, I love the style. The pink laces for me do it. The royal blue is gorgeous. And if you know a little bit about sneakers,
mm-hmm.
This turns heads.
Okay.
But one of my favorites to wear, not because it's my favorite sneaker, but because it starts conversations, is the Grateful Dead. You ever see those?
Yeah.
The Grateful Dead yellow bears.
Mm-hmm.
There's three colors. There's a yellow, a green, and an orange. Uh-huh. I have the yellow and the green. The orange, the pricing is outrageous.
Is the shoe, does the shoe have the Grateful Dead bear on it?
So it has the
it?
Grateful Dead bear on the logo or on the tongue.
Yeah.
It's fuzzy.
Okay. So
you don't see any creasing because of the fuzz.
Yeah.
And they are, and the yellow pair has this like really pretty light blue swoosh. The green pair has this like royal blue swoosh. And because of the fuzz, the bear hair, I guess you can mm-hmm. call it, the conversations are endless.
Yeah.
I mean, and any teenager or anybody that knows sneakers, it'll start a conversation. Then of course we get to talk about.
Just don't wear them on a rainy day.
Like there's definitely rain. In fact, because it's raining today, I didn't wear these till I got here.
Okay.
I was moving some couple things around the store today. So I have a different pair of sneakers on. And while I don't take it that serious all the time,
mm-hmm.
if I have a crazy work day, meaning we're moving some stuff around, I'll wear a more durable pair.
Right.
And definitely in the rain.
Yeah.
Or no.
Yeah. All right.
So again, my list can go on and on.
I'm sure you could.
Yeah. I don't think there's enough time in the internet world for
well, just
for
that. Seeing the number of products you have, I'm sure that would be.
Yeah.
It'd be like a 24
Maybe
hour
one day
marathon.
We'll do a podcast from my house and we can go through the collection.
That'd be cool. We could do like almost like the old MTV Cribs style.
Yeah, yeah,
we could follow you around.
MTV
you could
Johns.
Show us your, yeah, yeah, MTV Johns.
Lead Lamp
LTV.
Drawn.
Yeah. That'd be fun. So I know the store we've covered a bunch on.
Yep.
Obviously, you probably have some plans in the future too. You don't have to divulge all that, sure. but it's exciting to watch it grow even from what, 2 years ago, I think we had our first event with you till now, and your team's grown. You got the fire truck.
World's first.
Is the truck wrapped now too?
Oh, the truck is wrapped day one. Yeah.
So, okay.
You know, right or wrong, when we do things, we go all in.
Yeah.
I'll just get the truck and then outfit it. And
no,
there's no time for that. You know, start day one. In fact, I'm really excited. Hopefully, I'm getting a message right now, but unfortunately, I haven't. I'm a big Tesla nut. I love Elon. Cybertruck is coming. I was day one reservation. You put your like official pre-order in January. It's supposed to come within 30 days. And mm-hmm. now we're, you know, going into,
3 months,
April of 2024 and, still waiting. Of course, like I'm the guy that's not going to message Tesla cause I like, don't want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But like every month I'll say, hey, I don't want to be that guy. But I have a very early reservation number. I put my 1,000 in, like people said 30 days and of course, you know, you get nothing back.
Right.
So
it's been years.
Once the Cyber John, world's first Cyber John, of course, gets delivered, that of course will be wrapped in our, you know, hot pink and teal flames.
Nice.
And that will pull the fire truck. So what's insane is this morning, I got four different texts from four different people that spotted one in Pennsylvania. That's how hot this thing is. Like, people are losing their mind over it. So
just seeing it.
Four different people sent me it, the same one. They already wrapped it in like this black mat.
Huh.
And that's so the idea of, obviously, I'm not buying it because I want to drive it, although, of course, that's fun. It's an investment to...
It's a magnet.
It's a billboard. And,
you
know, the fire truck and wrapping it and making it unique and fun, you know, the genesis of that was the billboard that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, investing in marketing and billboards is... big investment. You never know really what it's going to do.
Right.
And thankfully we had some good, cool creative that, we spent some time on to make sure we had the right messaging, what the drawn is a drawn.
Yeah.
That really engaged.
There were people that like, I knew as soon as I saw it, I think it was heading eastbound on 581.
We moved it a couple times. Yep.
I saw it there right before you get to the 581-83 split.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember people in within our like spheres here with the yep. Verber Dental Group and a couple other places mentioning it.
Yep.
And I was like, oh no, like I know what that, like they were talking about it
yeah.
and they had no idea yeah. what you we were saw, even doing.
What's crazy is talk about, again, something that, you know, we probably need to do a little bit more of in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, they haven't been up in over a year. And to this day, I still get people.
I saw your billboard. Yeah. That's
and,
wild.
And a guy that's always been an operator in my retail life and had some other responsibility, but never like the marketing guy, although I was always like tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got that. That's a great idea, Brian, but you know, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
You know, one of the great parts about being an entrepreneur and starting Jones on Fire is that
you're in all the
lanes. You do these things, right? And one of the coolest compliments post that billboard, and you know, I was getting messages on LinkedIn from some foreigner counterparts or partners and saying, hey, you know, what agency did your billboard? And I'm like, you're looking at them. You
know, yeah.
Canva. And again, to make something that was engaging, because I see a billboard that has a phone number and yeah. I get it. I understand the
you're purpose. Driving 70 miles an hour past
but,
it.
But not gonna really to engage. Number. And the people that know what a John is, by the way, if you're not familiar, John is a kind of Philly thing. It's a Philly noun. It means anything. If you know what it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know, the idea was that you would wonder or question
some interest.
And check our Instagram, which we had posted. So again, a year after, they haven't been up since last June, and we still get people that say they saw our billboard.
Wonder, did you do Google Trends?
No, I need some help. You know anybody?
I'm going to send you a screenshot. We're going to look it up.
Yeah.
We should do a Google Trends to see if that phrase, like, what is it, John? Or
yeah.
If that peaks in the last couple of years versus whatever.
Yeah, there's definitely more. You know, again,
we got to look that up.
In Philly, I'm a Philly born and raised, lived there for 30 years of my life, worked there for 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
But Philly likes to keep it to themselves. So when we were moving out, I was actually doing some Facebook ads about us, and there'd be some hate from, I would put it in the Philly zip code just to, you know,
they're like, why are you
some
hate? This?
Like, you can't use that. What do you do? You know what I mean? So it's like, let's expand our wings. Let's get the word out to more and more. So
yeah, it's intriguing. It just piques the interest, you know?
Yeah.
And it, like, that's a good, I've been doing marketing in different forms for probably 12, 15 years now. And the best feeling is when you turn off a TV commercial or you turn off a radio ad or billboard, whatever it is. And like you said, a year later, people are still calling in and the lead source is TV commercial. And you're like, well, we haven't had that commercial one in years.
Yep. Yeah. You've inspired me to dive back in.
We had one where I won't disclose the company I was with, but the commercial opened with a baby crying, which is like, no one wants to hear,
mm-hmm.
but it was a pattern interrupt. And, we had that commercial off for like 2 years, same deal. People were calling in like, that commercial's so annoying, but mm-hmm. I remembered it.
And controversy wins.
Yeah.
In today's world, yeah.
So, I mean, it was mildly controversial, but it was like a nails on a chalkboard kind of thing. Yep. And you don't always want to be the annoying brand, but if you can find a way to stand out and
well, we're always, remember. All of us are trying to crack the code on social and the algorithm and
trying to get on top
and get the likes and the views and the follows. And our account's been live for 2 years. So, speaking of, you know, we got lucky. We do our content. We're very transparent. I'm not afraid to make fun of myself. We show off our personality, our brand, and that always works, but it's been a slow grind. And there is no silver bullet. We haven't invested into any, you know, crazy talent. Anything that we've done has gotten us some, but, you know, hard to ROI that.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple weeks ago, at fact that the Bree's basketball tournament that honored Bree, and I will talk about her momentarily, we did a video in the fire truck with my video guy, Ralph's kid, Reed. And he just asked these girls what sneaker they like. And so we had 9,000, almost 10,000 followers leading into 2 Sundays ago. And in 2 weeks and a couple of days, we've now had almost 15,000. And the That's video crazy. Has three things.
Yeah.
Here's our secret. The video has three things. It has a kid, kids. It has unscripted, natural. And there's a little bit of controversy because the last girl says, you know, come to John's on Fire and get all these deals. And, you know, I'm not the cheapest store.
Yeah.
You know, that's not our objective. That's not our goal. And there's hate that has,
there's no sales.
Come in,
yeah.
The reel has been, 220,000 views. And for us,
sure you got
all of our reels in history. from one thing. So
yeah, you got good comments and you got some controversy.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Was it, you said there was some controversy because she said, get
at
deals.
The end, she says, don't buy off of these places and come get deals. And we have deals. We have sales. We do light and weight. We're part of the community.
But I mean, you
we
get people on there saying,
but
you,
the average kid is, you know, that has a little bit of hate in their life. God bless them. We love them. You know, they're spouting.
It's interactions.
You can't take it personal. And it has created this engine.
You stay out of the comments.
Continues to move.
You guys, when it happens, you just got to stay out of the comments.
It's hard.
Man. All right. So you talked about, you just hinted upon it, your basketball tournament.
Yep.
So before we started, you were talking with Dr. Verber about your basketball tournament. Do you want to go into kind of that world a little bit and talk about, you know, that event?
Yeah.
And then, you know, what kind of inspired that? Because I know there's some inspiration there with the store as well behind that too.
So, yeah. So let's clarify. So it's not our basketball tournament, but there's a Kids Versus Cancer basketball tournament now. It's been in operation for 3 years. We just finished it up. And it brings local girls basketball teams together.
Mm-hmm.
We just finished the, like I said, the third tournament, raised $25,000. All of the funds this year went to Four Diamonds at Penn State Hershey. It's in honor of a couple of people. One is Ashlyn, who is a soccer player who had leukemia and conquered that. She's a local kid at East Penn, and it's an honor of her.
Mm-hmm.
The other is Coach Mike, who was a good family friend, Bree's good friend, father, and he passed away from cancer a few years ago. So we honor Coach Mike. And then Bree. And Bree is my daughter. I have four kids, Jake, Zach, Allie, Bree. And people ask me, how many kids do you have? I'll always say I have four.
Mm-hmm.
But Bree's in heaven. And she's with us, but physically she's not.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years ago when the tournament was in its early conversations, the idea being that it would be an opportunity for me to do and Kelly to do the best thing that we love to do, which is talk about Bree.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of transitioning from why, you know, I left a corporate role or had a great career, great job, great contacts, great friends, relationships, you know, everything that we get to do later on in life is because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And for 24 years, I worked for Rite Aid Corporation from assistant manager to, you know, doing some big things in operations before I left. I couldn't have done or couldn't be doing what we're doing today without that foundation.
Right. That built up what you have.
But it was time. There's, you know, like anything we do in life, there's lots of reasons why it's time to move on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the biggest drivers was there was a point where I just wasn't into it anymore. And I knew that if you're not into it, you can't continue.
Once you feel that
roles, you don't have that passion.
Yeah. Once that fire dies down.
Once that fire dies, good point. But more importantly, you know, our ultimate goal is one day to, you know, run Bree's Foundation full time, mm-hmm. as I call it, without a salary. And the math equation that, you know, 4 years ago said that while this could be, you know, this career could be nice, there's no guarantee, and it'll get us to a certain point, but it's not going to help reach that goal.
Mm-hmm.
So the decision was made with, you know, again, four kids, two mortgages, kids coming up to put through college to without a job to, you know, transition and to do what? Well, I wasn't 100% sure,
mm-hmm.
but I knew that I wanted to do something that I could have fun with, that I have a lot of passionate about, that I could be good at, that I could make a little bit of money, and that I could get to talk about Bree.
Mm-hmm.
And the best, you know, I shared with the best compliment the customers share with us. But the best thing that people call me isn't Brian or Dean, as people call me. It's Bree's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come into the store and they'll see her little memorial of her pictures or her jersey or her sneakers, and they'll say, some people, you know, make the connect. Oh, you're Bree's dad. And that's like the best thing you can call me.
Mm-hmm.
Because in, you know, 10 years with us, 2 months shy of 10 years with us on, you know, Earth, Bree, we use the term live like Bree.
Mm-hmm. And that's
a tattoo.
I was on the site earlier again, just refreshing. And like, if anyone, we'll put the link
awesome.
To that, appreciate the live like that. Bree site in the description. Cause like, man, you could just read, I could read that all day. Like it's the thing that hit me every time I read that thing that hits me is, are you having a bad day? Mm-hmm. And you go through like that checklist. And if you could just keep that favorite, if I could keep that favorite, like when I'm bitching about something, yep, and then read that, it's like, okay, well, I need to just shut up now.
Perspective, yeah, is the key to life. And, you know, I'm jumping around here a little bit, but during Bree's, what we call hero phase, which was December 1st, 2019 to May 27th, 2020, you know, that was the heat of COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, from right now, we got back 4 years ago, got back from Dree's Make a Wish trip, and the world was shut down. We were like the last planes out of Philly airport.
Everything was turning to ghost
town.
That
was it. Yeah. And during this time period, the next few months, as Bree is getting treatment and as Bree is home without any friends or grandparents, or, you know, she can't go to the mall or the movies, everything, the world shut down. This kid never complained, never whined, and never, you know, cried that she wasn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, there was people that were complaining that the bars weren't open,
right,
or that they couldn't get their food fast.
They could go to my Starbucks now.
And I get it, right? I would beg that no one ever has the experience that I or our family has had.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not reality either. But perspective is key. And,
right,
you know, if this kid can not hang out with her friends or not do her routines, or not because she was even sick necessarily, because mm-hmm. the world was shut down, you don't have you don't have a right to complain.
Right.
But we don't know that until we experience that. So, you know, the idea or the mantra of live like Bree is to do what Bree does. And for almost 10 years, every day, this kid never missed a beat. Go to the mall, go to the movies, play, color, sing, go to school, hang out with your friends.
Constant
activities.
There
was never a moment. And at the end of the night, she's out. of our four kids, I spent a lot of nights reading stories or telling stories or, you know, in bed, kind of getting them to sleep. Rarely with Bree. I mean, she spent a lot of time with us in our bed, which mm-hmm. thank God that happened, because we get more time with her. But she's out, because this kid lived every day to the fullest.
She played hard.
Yeah. And we talk about her in present tense. The only thing we talk about in past tense is that she had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But in 10 years, she, you know, lives a full life beyond people that live till 70 or 80.
Yeah.
And we're blessed to be able to help give her that life. And we're blessed to, you know, mortgage the future with lots of vacations and trips to the beach and things that, you know, when we're making those decisions on, should we do this trip this year or that? I didn't always have the money just laying around.
Right.
Let's rob Peter to pay Paul. And while you can never, you know, I'm a big Steve Jobs geek too, so you can never connect the dots forward, but you can always connect them backwards, mm-hmm. in his quotes. And I believe in that. And while we didn't know it at the time, we're blessed to have made those, call it investments.
Yeah, to been able to have done that.
Had that, you know, those experiences. In fact, you know, our final family vacation prior to, we call it, you know, BCAD life, prior to December 1st, 2019, when Bree had her seizure, which led to finding out she had brain cancer. We were in Disney.
Hmm.
We just come off a Disney cruise for 7 nights over Thanksgiving, you know, pinch me. This is the American, like, I didn't realize we would get to do these things. We brought my parents the year before. That year we had taken my in-laws,
mm-hmm.
and we were staying 3 extra days in Universal, and we got off the boat, Bree wasn't feeling good. And 24 hours were, you know, 911 to the hospital. So it's kind of like a fairy tale,
mm-hmm.
Disney-ish. Which we had the pleasure of getting to a lot, which is where we were. Although this time we were Universal, so maybe that was the Disney God saying, "Today's your day," because the first day that we went ever going to Universal. But we get to joke about it, and people sometimes that, you know, the best thing you could do for me as mm-hmm. a father is just talk about Bree.
Yeah,
I won't cry. I won't try to make you upset.
Yeah.
I'll try to share who she is. I'll try to, you know, tell you about her. Mm-hmm. And that does two things, my opinion. One, it makes me happy. And two, more than not, people have said that it brings inspiration to their lives. And that's our goal. Mm-hmm. You know, from a headline standpoint, you know, people say in loss, whether it's a kid, a friend, a family member, and all loss is horrible, and there's no comparison to anyone's loss. Mm-hmm. I've learned that in my limited grief counseling. Each loss is the worst. Each loss is your own worst loss.
Right.
So people qualify Bree's loss with, oh, you know, oh, I lost my mom, but it can't compare to. You don't have, one, you don't have to say that.
Right.
Two, your worst loss is your own worst loss.
It's apples and oranges.
So it doesn't matter. Clearly, no one wants to bury their 10-year-old.
Right.
But the point I was getting to was that, you know, finding that inspiration and finding that perspective and hearing it from somebody that, you know, Bree is not just being remembered. We're not going to not forget about her. We're not going to not, we're going to always remember her. People say that in loss. That's, we want Bree to be inspiring people for years beyond our time here. We're not there yet, far from it. But that's kind of call it, you know, life's purpose.
Yeah. Do, so obviously I've met you a bunch of times now. And you live that daily. Does the rest of your family, like your three kids, they walk through life with that same kind of attitude now? Is it a
short answer? Is
yeah.
Their personalities
are
different than Bree's. But there's no doubt in my mind that there's obviously short term, long term impact for everybody.
Right.
But speaking specifically for our kids, and you hear everything. You hear parents that can't handle it and commit suicide. You hear people that have marriages that get divorced. You hear all of the things that happen after an experience like ours. And we're not perfect, and we learn every day.
It has the potential to change a lot, though.
But period. And usually, though, you hear, you know, more negative because the people, you know, I say, I could arguably very happy laying in bed all day eating cheesesteaks and watching Netflix, but I won't do that because one, it's not who I am. Two, although I could eat cheesesteaks all day. two, it would be a disservice to Bree because that kid didn't do that. And three, what message would I be sending to our kids?
Right,
that's right, and. Speaking for Jake, Zach, and Allie, you know, Jake's a sophomore in college. Zach is finishing up high school now. Allie's moving into sixth grade. And they're not perfect kids, but they're thriving.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt in my mind that there's an inspiration from Bree.
They've grown from that.
They have grown. And they've done it. I say it to them. I'll say it publicly. They've done it with parents that aren't, I'll use the word, the best parents possible. We're different. ADBC. You say to me, how are you, Brian? I'm going to say I'm good. I've always had a pie. I used to say I'm great. If you didn't hear great for me, there was something really bad. I'll still say I'm good. I'll still say I'm great. But it's a different, it's a completely different good and great. Because all of the things that would make you good or great, like how your kids are, the fact that our parents are still here, or that Drones on Fire has good days and you feel good about that, or your friends are there for you. While all those things make you feel good, it is a completely different good because at the same exact time, there's that stabbing pain, and I'm not exaggerating, that we're experiencing these things without Bree here physically with us.
Right.
We're not experiencing things that we would have been, father-daughter dances, graduations, sports teams, friends, sweet 16, you know, 13th birthday, all of these things that have already started to occur. And of course,
will
occur every day.
You talked about that on your Live Like Bree site too, you know, all of your firsts and things like that. And, you know, it's just powerful to think about it that way.
Kelly's minivan is 13 years old. It's more than 10 years old.
Okay.
And there'll be a day where she has to give it up. But she has said it, and I know part of it is that she spent hours and hours and hours in that van with Bree. There's stickers on the back of her driver's seat that we got from wherever that Bree put up, that she's not letting that car go. And I hold on. I'm not a hoarder. And I try always had an attitude of living in the future, looking for the future, don't look back kind of thing. But, there's definitely components of Groundhog Day that I, I'm happy about.
Right.
I don't look at it as from a negative standpoint. I look at it from, I will always live in the past.
It's a way to keep a piece of that with
it's,
you.
It's what makes me happy.
And then you've also translated that into a little piece of the shop as well at your store. You have that awesome shoe there. You have that, you have a bunch of pieces of Bree at the store with you too, which is cool. Cause then you get to spend your day with her there too.
100%. And the, you know, the colors of the logo in the store, you know, hot pink and teal are Bree's colors. They're, you know, throughout, if I had a different logo on today, you would see that in the sneaker, you know, they're the inspiration.
The big shoe.
The big shoe, the music. I mean, there's, if you look at the pictures that scroll through the frame long enough, you'll see dozens of pictures of Bree from, you know, 1 year old until almost 10, where she has on crazy sneakers, and crazy colors and crazy outfits. And that's kind of the, we call it the be drawn attitude, you know, be with who you want, dress the way you want, act the way you want, do what you want, all of course in a positive way, and you know, be everything you want to be. And
right.
Kind of translate that to be everything you want to Bree. And that's again how that's the spirit of Bree. That's what Live Like Bree is. And you know, the connection between why Jones on Fire and how, what does it mean to Bree? That be drawn attitude, be anything you want to be. That's how Bree lives. That's how Bree lived with us here. That's how Bree lives beyond us. And that's the inspiration we want to share with others.
Well, I can see it in what you do. So
I appreciate
it. That's awesome. Well, is there anything else you wanted to cover on that? I mean, that was, we covered a lot.
Time.
I do want to do an episode there where we go into more about like your shoes and your products though. Cause I'm from an outsider, like not into that. Not in a bad way. I've just never like been enveloped in that world. Like it's intriguing to me seeing your store, checking out your products. Cause it's like from an outsider's perspective, it's kind of like, that's like the cool kids club with shoes. And obviously I got my lame shoes on, but all like, like, you know, I'm intrigued by it. So I'd like to get on and talk about that sometime.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
And you know, the interesting thing about sneakers, last thing I guess is that, you know, while obviously in where we live, you know, the seasons change and you go from wearing shorts to pants to coats and hat, you know, but you only wear it for a short period of time. You know, the, your footwear, and I guess your underwear are the two things that you will always buy, regardless of where you live. Because, and then obviously you make the decisions on what it is that you like, comfort, style, price, all those things kind of come into play. But, we will always wear sneakers. They are more than ever a part of our lives. And, speaking for myself, it, makes me happy to put on a fun pair.
Right.
And it makes me happy to talk to people about them. And, we love, when kids get to experience the same thing that, that I got to experience, you know, 39 years ago.
You can see that spark start at that age. That's awesome. Cool. Well, we will put the link to your site.
Awesome.
I'll put a link to Live Like Bree in the show notes too. And then,
JonesOnFire.com, shameless plug, livelikebree.love. Instagram.
It's a different top level domain.
I need to, we need to change that.
But it's a great site.
A whole bunch of work that needs to be done. But we need to change that because we know we don't get,
it's a great site to read through though, just for perspective or just if you need to, like if I'm having a bad day and I need a kick in the ass, like it's a good site to just get on and you got to read that every now and then. So
appreciate that. Means a lot.
But thanks for coming on, Brian.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Awesome.